Bibles again. Right.
Yes, before we read it, just an interesting statistic. I don't know if you're aware of this, are you? Which is the most frequently kept pet in the world?
Cats
are. There are far more cats than there are dogs as pets. There you go. The reason that they suggest this is that the cat's face is more like a child's face. Large eyes, flattened face, slightly rounded. Easy to keep as well, that's true. Yes. Anyway, totally irrelevant to what I want to do, but chapter 12, verse 35 is where we begin. It's about being awake. Jesus wants you to be awake. Right. I don't just mean physically awake. Right. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men watching for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, and will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. There you are. Work to do, jobs to do, and so on. So let's have a look at that first one. We'll follow it through, what Jesus teaches. Be dressed and ready for service. Jesus is using language that relates to their time and age. And keep your lamps burning. There's your lamp. Right. What does he mean? Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning.
Ready to receive the Lord.
It's all about being prepared. Yeah. Right? Jesus is coming back, brothers and sisters, and you don't know when. And it may be you'll meet Jesus before Jesus comes back. You don't know when. Right? You're on limited time. I'm sorry to tell you this, but we all are. Right? So Jesus says, be ready. That's what it's about. Get your... be dressed. And he's using the idea of a bridegroom who's gone off to get married, and then he comes back, and he doesn't know what time, and when he comes back, the servants are to be ready to receive him. Right? That's the important thing he's saying. And the knock at the door could be at any time. He says he could come between the hours of the midnight hour and later on than that. He's come back from a wedding banquet. Yes? Isn't it interesting? And he says that the master comes back and he's waiting, and the servant should be ready. There's a hint there. Jesus isn't spelling it out very strongly, but there's a hint there that the bridegroom's going away for a while. How long has he been away for now?
2,000 years.
But for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, you know. 1,000 years like a day. It's not long for the Lord. It's long enough for us, though, isn't it? But he says he's going to be away for a while, and he's coming back. And so that when he comes, you have to be ready, so that when he knocks, immediately you can open the door for him. It will be good for those servants who the master finds them watching when he comes. Right, so, are you ready for Jesus coming? Are you ready? Or is it going to be the most terrible shock you've ever faced in your existence? Right? Because it's going to be for a lot of people. That's the point of this whole story. A lot of people are not ready. And there's the sadness of it all. Right? And we're to be ready in the present, but there's going to be a day when it's the final opportunity. You're going to have to face the Master. Is that going to be good? Should be. You're going to be inspected. When he arrives, you're going to be inspected. Did you know that? Right? Servants, are you dressed? Are you doing your jobs? And that doesn't mean to say you're all working types of things. It's about being a person who's living for Jesus and serving the Lord in the time in which we are now. And when he comes back, he'll be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're aiming for, isn't it? So Jesus is saying, guys, and he's talking to the crowd as well, yes, right, the time will come when you've got to face your God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you still carrying all your sins with you? Because if you are, you're not going to find that a very pleasant experience. Okay, so let's move on. We'll find out some more about it in a moment. He says, when he comes back, I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. How about that? You won't find many masters like this one. Right? When the master turns up normally, he tells them to do all the serving. But when this master comes, he says, right, you can relax now. Sit down, I'll get ready and I'll serve you. Isn't that amazing? The Lord will bless you on that day, right? Astounding rewards. He will have them recline. He says they'll recline. Why does Jesus use the word recline? It's something they would understand.
Yeah.
They sit at a low level, right? Yes, in the Middle Eastern situation, you sort of laid down to eat and leant on your elbow or something like that. Do you think we'll have chairs in heaven?
I don't
know. We won't need them. That's true, yes. We defy gravity. But whatever. Yeah. The point being is that Jesus is saying, yeah, you be faithful to me and you just see what that will do for you. Right? There will be ultimately blessings that will come as we faithfully follow and serve him. He's going to be the waiter. Well, he's the waiter now in many ways, isn't he? He's the one that washes our feet, cleanses us, blesses us in so many ways, and yet he calls us to serve him too. Right, next one, please. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. Some versions have about the third watch and the different watches in the night. The night was divided up into a number of hours, even hours, and that was when people kept guards at the city. The guards changed overnight so that they didn't doze off during the night. Yeah? And he's saying is during that period of the night time, it could be any time. Says day or night, really, that the Lord will come. That's possible, isn't it? It could be any time that the Lord will come. He's not told us when. And so, when Jesus comes, you've got to be ready. That's the point. Right, next one, please. But understand this. Can you see the thief? Understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. That's fairly obvious, isn't it? Yeah? If you knew he was coming, you wouldn't get caught out, would you? Right? But you do know he's coming. It's only that you don't know when he's coming. So you should be caught out anyway. But some people think, you know, well, I'll turn to Jesus when I'm old. Right? I'll have my fun now. Stupid argument, really. Yeah? I'll have my fun now, and then when I'm old, I'll turn to Jesus. Right? But by the time you get old and you've lost all your marbles, you won't be able to turn to Jesus. Yeah? It's possible. There's no fool like an old fool. Yeah? Or you may say, you know, well, not yet. I've got other things I need to do. Well, it's not good enough. Right? He says, the owner of the house might find that the thief turns up. The thief comes to take away because the owner is unprepared. Right. There was a lovely bit in the Bible, Knox. It's a different one altogether. Someone had a break-in in the house. Did you read it? I think it was the UCB, not the UCB, the Word for Today, was it? Yeah. Not Word for Today, Daily Bread, thank you, yes. It was that this thief came into someone's house. The lady was downstairs. She'd fallen asleep on the couch. The husband was upstairs in bed. And they'd left one of the doors open. And one of these opportunist thieves came along and snuck in the house and crept upstairs, went into the bedroom, picked up the telly, obviously had the telly in the bedroom, to take it away, right? And the husband woke up, not entirely, but he woke up. He says, "Oh, honey, come to bed," right? And the thief was so worried about this, he put the telly down and picked up this wadge of notes that he saw lying around and scarped it, right? But the wadge of notes were a whole load of tracts. So, he got it one way or another, didn't he? Yes. But that's an amusing incident, of course. But the thief normally comes to steal, and he's going to come. And there's going to be people who are going to get robbed because of that. They're robbing themselves, really, by not being ready. Right, the next, please. Yeah. So, you also, and Jesus said that to the disciples, and you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So, Jesus is, this is before his crucifixion, Jesus talking about the future, and he says that the Son of Man will come. And of course, who's the Son of Man? Himself, Jesus. It's another word for the Messiah, of course. And he says, you'll come at an hour, you don't expect him. Right, well, what's interesting about that clock? No hands. You don't know what time it'll be. Right? He's not telling you. But he's coming when you don't expect him. So, when do you expect Jesus back? Do you expect him back today? Could be. Ah, well, there you are. I don't know. He'll come for us as individuals, but when he comes back in all his glory, we don't know that, yes. But we don't know any of those times, do we? Right? So, how must we be ready for Jesus? How must we be ready for Jesus? In what way? I mean, you know, is that you're going to stay awake all day, not every day, just in case? That's not what it's about. Get your heart right with God, right? Get your heart right with God. And then, what else are you going to get your heart right with? All the people, right? There may be people you don't like, you know? There may be people that... Some Christians can be very funny people, you know. Can they? You've met some, haven't you? Including yourself. Yeah. And it's not natural to like everybody. We're just not built that way, I guess. It's but you know? Yes.
It's almost impossible,
yeah.
I think.
And as far as it is possible, with a peace with all men. As far as it's possible with you,
the Bible tells us, the thing I always think of is, it tells us that broad is the road to destruction.
Broad is the road to destruction.
No matter how much we try,
yeah,
there's still going to be a lot of...
A lot of people running on it, I'm afraid, yes. Bit, you know. Well, he's telling us to be ready, right? So we're ready in terms of our attitudes, our service to Jesus. If there's sin in your life, it needs sorting out, brother and sister. Right? Those are the things that God wants us to clean up our act. There's a lovely bit in Romans, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, we pick up all the world's way of thinking so often, don't we? We're bombarded by the world's culture. We are brothers and sisters. They don't think the way God thinks.
No.
And you'll start thinking their way rather than God's way unless you feed yourself on God's word, unless you think about it and try to apply it to your life. Right? There's an old translation, or another translation of that Romans 12 passage. Now, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. Mm-hmm. It'll try.
Yeah.
And so, we're born with the world's mould. We need to change that. And so, being ready for Jesus is being transformed, being changed in the way that we think, the attitudes that we have, the values that we have. What's most important to you now shouldn't have been the same as when you weren't a Christian. Right? The things that are most important to you now are your relationship with the Lord, or should be, your relationship with your brothers and sisters, seeking to serve the Lord, and wanting to be a blessing to the world he's put you in. Right? Before, too often it's me, my and mine, isn't it? I'll look after my number one and the world can go to hell. Not the way it should be, yes? So, we're transformed. And so, what were Jesus' last words? His earthly last words, not when he was saying cheerio to the disciples, but what was it in the upper room? It's in John 17, verse 4. He says, Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. Right? Jesus came on the mission that God had for him. I've done the work. Now, that was Jesus' work, was to go around healing the sick, giving the word, blessing people, and ultimately to die for us. Right? Now that's not our job, is it? But Jesus got different jobs. There's a work for Jesus, none that you can do. But Jesus did. And what about Paul's last words in 2 Timothy? What did he say there in 2 Timothy 4:7? He says, I've fought the fight, I've run the race, I've completed the task. And his task was to share the gospel, to minister to the nations, as it was. Right? Well, we've got work. I can't tell you what your work is, only the Lord knows and you know about how to work it out. But all of us have got things we can do in serving God. And they can be the ordinary things. You can serve God sweeping a floor. Did you know that? Right? You can serve God being a nurse to somebody. Right? You can serve God feeding somebody. Right? All of those things depends on how you do it. It's a great lesson. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, not serving man, but serving God. Right? That's being ready. That's serving God. Martin Luther had someone asked him once. They said, you know, if you knew the Lord was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? He says, well, I'm at the moment, I'm planting apple trees in the garden. He says, if I knew the Lord was coming back tomorrow, I'd still plant apple trees. I get on with what God's told me to do and I'll leave the timing to Him. Right? I don't know. I don't know when He's coming back. Let's just seek to serve Him. And if you've run out of energy and you've got no more oomph left, how do you serve Him? You love Him and pray. Right? There's a dear man, he went to China. Came from Barnsley. What was his name? Missionary. Hudson Taylor. That's it, thank you, Julie. Hudson Taylor went to China. And as he was dying, he had run out of complete steam, of course. He was a dying man. And someone came to him and said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm too tired to move. I'm too tired to pray. But I'm not too tired to trust. Yeah? I reckon the Lord was honoured in that, you know. Right. So, there's a work for Jesus, whatever stage in our lives we're at. And I mean work, not in the sense of grinding away, but serving Him. Right. Okay, next one, please. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or anyone, or everyone? Who said it was a parable? Yeah. Who says it's a parable? It's not a parable. Jesus is making it plain. I mean, He's using illustrations about the bridegroom and all that sort of thing. It's not a parable. It's actually what's going to happen. And Peter says, is it for them or for us? Right. There's always good at that, isn't that? Are you good at that? You know, if there's something fairly hot, you know, you'd say, oh, it's for them. Right? Always for them, not for me. You know, we're good at deflecting. And I don't know what Peter's doing, but we can do that. You know, oh, that applies to them. I mean, preachers are really good at this, you know. You think, oh, this sermon's really good for so-and-so. And they don't take a blind bit of notice, you know. And then the other people that you'd never thought would bother, they say, oh, that was really good, Daddy Southport, whoever it was, you know. Yeah. We signed, deflect it. Well, Peter's, maybe he's up to that. Who was that for them or for us, Lord? Right? So Jesus doesn't answer him. Next one, please. He answers him. Well, he does answer him. Yes, please, next one. He answers him, but he answers with a question. That's always the good Jewish way to do a thing. You know, if they ask you a question, answer with a question. Jesus does that. Who's the wise servant then? And he's asking Peter to answer his own question. But in doing that, he's basically saying it applies to you, and it applies to all those who are followers of me. Right? So, it's for you. Yeah? Jesus is coming back. But I must say, while I'm pointing the finger at you lot, right, this one is really for me as well, as you'll see. Next, please. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master has put in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Right. He's talking about people who've been given the responsibility of feeding others. Right. Is that my job? So Jesus is talking to me this morning as well. Right. The apostles, the teachers, the ministers and disciples. You may have responsibility for being a blessing to somebody else. Right. Parents have that job, don't they? Yeah. Right? And he says, faithful and wise manager, then who's that? Are you one of them, Peter? Are you going to be one of those, yeah? Whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time. So what's the food allowance today then? Luke chapter 12. That's your portion for today. Yeah. But there may be other parts that the Lord's given you in the scriptures as you read your Bible.
and whatever, but he's telling me this one, right? So I have to work at trying to make this digestible, right? Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? Jesus is saying, be prepared for me to come, right? Be ready for me. That's my job to tell you that, and somehow to help you to get to understand that. So, what's the food allowance? I put the picture there. It's the Bible, teaching. God's the teacher. That's what he's talking to these guys. So, puts them in charge. Next slide, please. Right. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. That's part of the work I have, but there are other things we're all supposed to be working for Jesus some way or another. It'll be good for the servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you truly, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. How about that? Right. Have you thought you were going to get a rest? Yeah? You just get a bigger job? Isn't that wonderful? Well, it might seem not quite so wonderful in this world. When you're faithful in something and the Lord gives you a bigger job to do, you think, oh, I'm just like a rest, Lord, it'd be nice, you know. Well, when it comes to the glory, that's a different thing. What's the picture? Have you liked the picture?
Yeah.
The fish is moving to something bigger.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and that's what the Lord will do for you if you're faithful. And it is a reward, but let me put it this way. If you're faithful, he gives you more responsibility. You're entrusted with more. And, you know, God doesn't give you jobs so you put badges on and start boasting, I'm this, I'm that, and that, and the other, you know. It's not about that. It's being able to serve him with more capacity. The more you serve the Lord, the more he can pour into your life. Blessing. That's how it flows. You can turn the tap on, Pastor, if you're serving him better, right? And faithful. Right, let's move on. Yep. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master's taking a long time in coming. He then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. Right, how about that? There he is, threatening these other people. Right, and he's one of the servants too, of course. Right, my master's taking a long time. Yeah? That's the danger for all of us, you know. Were you really keen when you got started as a Christian? Right? Were you?
Yeah.
Really keen? Right. About the young man that's talking to his girlfriend. You've heard that one, haven't you? He writes to her, I'll climb any mountain for you. I'll cross any river for you. And if it's not raining at 6 o'clock, I'll see you tonight. Great, yeah? Well, we say, Lord, I'm yours. Right, and as time goes on and he's not back yet, and he's calling you to serve him, well, he's off. Not good. It's the most dangerous thing in the world, that. Yeah? Great temptation is to slacken and to drift. The writer to the Hebrews talks about that, the danger of drifting. You need to be awake. What can I say to wake you up, folks, eh? Are you awake? Oh, yeah, I hope you are. Mm-hmm. And it applies to me too, you know, it's so easy. You know, when things come in, oh, I'll take time tomorrow, Lord, and another time. Yeah? And it gets more and more. It doesn't work. Tomorrow doesn't come across. Yeah. So it's a great temptation, and the danger is the more you drift back into the old ways, the more you become abusive of the things that God wants you to be. Right? So here he's saying, this servant, he thinks it's a long time coming, he's not coming yet, and so I'll just carry on the old sweet way and start thinking about me, mine and mine again. Right? And he starts abusing brothers and sisters, of course. Yeah. Right, well, I hope ministers do this sort of thing? Have they been cruel and unkind to their congregation?
No.
I think some have. Yeah. And what are they going to answer when the master calls them in? Well, here we are. Challenge. So I've got to be nice to you guys, haven't I? Right. We'll try. Yes. Okay, next please. Right. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?
That's hell,
yes. Right. Well, I thought he was a believer. Well, he didn't live like one. And it proved he wasn't one. He thought he was. You've got to be aware of these things, right? So, big surprise, and not a nice one coming. Next, please. And yeah. The servant, now, this is really important, yes? Get this. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. Right? Two groups. Those that know what they should do, but don't do it. And those that don't do what they should do, and didn't know they should do it. You've got the two groups?
Yeah.
Right? Those that know what they should do and don't do it, are they more to blame than the those that don't do it?
Yeah.
They are to blame, yes. Right? I mean, you see, the punishment fits the crime. God deals with people according to your heart. Right? And so, let me give you an example of this one. Some people might say, it's not fair, you know. It's not fair like that. But let me give you an example. Supposing you become a thief. Right? Not I'd say you would, but supposing you become a thief. And you nick a fiver off your neighbour. Right? That's bad, isn't it? Right? And then you go and nick a fiver off the Queen. Which is worse? Both the same? Which will you get hammered for most? Why? Because you're not just pinching the fibre off the person, you're pinching the fibre off what the person represents. The power, the authority, the honour, right? So let's take it down to these guys who sin, right? Here you are, a sinner, right? You sin against a person, but if you sin against God, right, that's really big time. That's why sin is so serious, because sin is ultimately against God. And he's saying that, you know, the person who knows what he's doing and does that is going to be in big time trouble. But of course, there's a danger for us, isn't it? You can do things that you think are okay, but they're wrong. Right? And you say, well, I didn't know, boss. And he says, I know you didn't know, and that's why I'm not going to punish you as hard as the previous lot. But punish you will be, Right? Because sin is sin. There is no excuse. That, what do we say in law? Ignorance is... we don't say that in law. We don't say that in law. That ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is no excuse. Right? Ignorance is no excuse. I'm afraid. Right? It means you get some mitigating circumstances, but it's no excuse. And so, brothers and sisters, when it comes down to it, really, this is a real issue for salvation. If you think you're okay and you can stand before God on your own, you are seriously mistaken. Right? You're a sinner, whether you know it or not. And so you need to get right with God. You need to be ready to meet the Master. There are lots of people. I know there are lots of people. I'll probably be talking to some at the funeral. You say, well, I've never hurt anybody. I don't think anything harm of anybody. I try to do my best and live a nice way. I'm sure they do. Right? Okay? What's the problem is they've got great faith in their own righteousness. But when God puts the spotlight on, brothers and sisters, and you start seeing all those flaws in your life, you'll start thinking differently. Right? Well, the Holy Spirit's doing that for us now. He's saying, look, I want you to see that you need me. You've got to be ready and trusting me in order to be ready for the day when Jesus comes back. Because if you're going to think, I mean, I was speaking to a man many years ago when I went to Scholars. He says, when I see God, I'm going to tell him a thing or two. I said, when you see God, you're going to have your mouth shut, boy.
Yeah.
Right? You won't be. We won't dare say a word because you'll see yourself as you really are. Punishment will fit the crime. God is just. That's good news as well. That's good news.
It seems obvious to me that now that the court doesn't want to all the same things that's going on here to
no.
Transfer.
No, they won't be transferred. No.
Sort,
yeah. God will sort it all out.
Yeah.
But the good news is that people who treat you with indifference and mockery and all of those things, God's going to say one day, that one's my person, my child. Right? And what the world's opinion comes for, nothing in the end. Let's move on. Let's think last one, I think it is. Nearly, yes, yeah. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. That's the Lord's modus operandi. A bit of Latin for you. Yes? What does modus operandi mean? The way it works. That's the way it works. Do you like it? Bless you, by the way. Right? Do you like the way the Lord works?
I hope you do,
because you've got no choice, right? He's not going to change the way he does things just to suit your little scheme, right? The Lord says, everybody who's given much, much will be demanded. When he says demanded, what does he mean? Does he want it all back? He's given you lots. He's blessed you with a home. He's blessed you with good health in that degree of measure, or whatever it is. He's blessed you with the friends and the families and the people that you have, right? And he's blessed you with the situation you're in, right? He's going to take it all from you. What does he say? Much will be demanded. What's he demanding of you? Yes, he wants your heart, right? But he wants you to use what he's given you for his glory, right? That he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll repeat myself again. Right? Everything you have isn't yours. You got that? Everything you have isn't yours. Right? And all you need is to have one dodgy heartbeat and you'll find out it isn't yours. Right? But it's all yours to use. Right? God's given you in order to be a blessing with it. Right? So everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. That's, whatever responsibilities you have, you've got to discharge them. Right? I mean, Jesus says, I've finished the work. I've done the thing that Father called me to do. That was a big task. Right? Paul, on a smaller scale, says, I've run the race. I've fought the fight. Right? And for you and me, we're probably somewhere down here, aren't we? But can God say, or you say, at the end of the race, and we're not there yet, of course, you've got to be ready. Lord, I did my best with what you gave me. That's all he wants. Do the best with what he's given you. So you're ready for his coming. Yeah? That's what it's about. I think that's it. Can we just... Oh, no, there's one more. One more, yes. Right. So be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Right. I'll ask you about the lamp. Right. What's the lamp? I mean, he's obviously talking about lighting up the rooms where the people in service are. What would you equate as the equivalent of your lamp burning?
Light.
Your faith. Keep your faith strong. How do you feed your faith? Pray. Serve it. It says in Romans 12 again, it says, you get your faith to grow by using it. Right? You can't get faith in the little box, put it in the cupboard and keep it there. Because what it'll do is it'll shrink. It only grows by muscle power. You see? So, we've got our set tasks. We've got to do what the Lord's called us to do. We remember we've got a limited time. Right? Now, I don't want to stress you. I hope you realise that, don't you? I'm not here to stress you, but we've not got all the time in the world. We have to do what we do, when we do, now. Right? And there is going to be a final assessment. Right? How do you think you'll find out what that's like? When you get there. The final assessment. That's serious. Yes? When we stand before him. Right? I think what we'll be able to say, if we've got any sense, is, Lord, what I did with what was good was your doing, and what I messed up was my doing, but it's all your grace and I'm here at all. Right? But there's a finishing line. Yeah? You're going to get there. It's not those who start the race, brothers and sisters. It's those who finish. It's the prize. Yeah? That's really important. Really, I mean, you know, I'm certain you know people who look really promising, they were doing really well, started off, keen as mustard, and then things cut in, and time comes over, and they drift. Sad. Very sad. I would like to be them. I'm not saying they're not saved or whatever, but I would like to be them when they stand before the Lord. Be dressed, keep your lamps burning, and see what Jesus can do for you. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. You tell us it as it really is. And I know, Lord, that we all come short. Oh, Lord, forgive us when we've fallen short and fail. And help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to trust you so that we may be dressed and our lamps burning. Lord, we long for your return. Lord, yes, that one day we'll be done with sin. Oh, the battles will be over. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we long for your return when we look at the world and we see the news and we see the violence and the evil and the corruption and the wickedness around, Lord. And we say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. And yet, Lord,
You've called us to live in this world, not to be of it, but to be in it, to let your light shine, that others can see the dark for what it really is and come to the light, the love of God in Jesus. Oh Lord, help us to play our part. Help us to do the tasks we have. Not to try and do what others are, Lord, but to be what you've called us to be, each one. And may we be faithful in that. And in being faithful, give you the glory. Continue to depend on you and praise you for your grace to us. Lord, as we come in a few moments to share together in the bread and the wine, thank you, we're back to the cross. Lord, there our sins have been laid on you, precious Lamb of God, that we who were guilty can stand away from the cross because, Lord, you're on it for us. And Lord, so thank you as we come to share together in a few moments. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you.